What's up, everybody? Good morning and welcome to our Sunday morning online worship experience. We can worship together in our living rooms, on our couches, in our offices, in our kitchens while we're driving down the road. It's really cool. So thank you so much for tuning in. Let me just say this. If you know of people who attend our church, or maybe you have friends or family members or acquaintances who don't go to church anywhere and they don't know about our online services, maybe encourage them to hook up with us on our Facebook page, on our Instagram page, YouTube, on our website, and that way they can worship along with us. Or maybe you can send this link to them after the service is over today and invite them to join in with us. We certainly cannot wait to meet together again under one roof, but this is the next best thing. We can still stay connected as we worship together right now online. So thank you so much for showing up today, and thank you so much for worshiping with us. We love you all. Today, for just a few moments, I want to talk to you about how very real God is. Now, most of us, probably all of us, have wrestled with this question in some form or another. We've struggled with this. We've wondered about this. And this is what it is. How can God be good and real and loving, but yet still allow all the bad and evil to happen in this world? If we were all honest, we all deal with questions like this. Sometimes I meet people in church who say, man, I never doubt and I never deal with things like that. But honestly, if you were ever just to sit down and think about what's going on in our lives, in the world, to innocent people, sometimes it's a very natural question to ask. How could God be real? How could there be a God and that God be good and loving and coexist with all of this bad that's in the world today and allow all this bad to happen? Now, most of the time, when you and I start to wrestle with questions like that, for most people, this is really when their faith begins to die. In fact, if you're listening today and you feel like you've walked away from the faith, or your faith is very weak, for most people, if you want to pinpoint when that happened, look back, and it's usually when you begin to ask questions like this. Now, these questions are not bad to ask. They're great to ask, because these questions are not the enemy of our faith. They're actually the brother and the sister of our faith. But many times when we start to ask these questions, how could there be a God? And how could this God be good and loving and still allow all the bad and evil in the world today? That's when most people, their faith begins to wither away and die. Something bad has happened to me. Something bad has happened in this world. Something bad has happened to someone that I love, and I don't know how to reconcile this. Many times it's hard to reconcile this idea of a good God and bad things in this world. But now here's the deal. Whenever you and I do think about this, and I'm going to include myself because I do this too, we usually only focus, now catch this, on the bad out there. And we very rarely focus on the bad in here. Let me say that again. Most of the time when you and I grow skeptical and doubtful, and we're not really sure if God is good, if God is loving, if God is even real, if this whole Jesus thing is just a myth because of all the evil, most of the time it's only about the bad and the evil that's out there, and it's never about the darkness that's in my heart. So let me ask you a follow-up question. Have you ever done anything bad? Have you ever done something that hurt someone else, and you knew before you did it or said it or reacted in that way that you should not have, but you did it and said it or reacted in that way anyway? Have you done something bad? Here's another question. Do you only stay away from doing bad things sometimes because you're afraid of getting caught? A lot of people are only are faithful as their opportunity is to sin. For all of our children who may be listening today, and all of our students and college students who may be listening today, let me just say this. At this time in your life, while you're at this age, don't fall into the pattern of only staying away from bad things just because you're afraid of being found out, just because you're afraid of getting caught. Take this time in your life to work on your heart and the impulses of your heart and the desires of your heart and the patterns of your heart so you can grow in integrity and character. And that's why we stay away from bad things. But let's get back to our point. Many times when you and I do give in to temptation and we do things that are hurtful and we do bad things and we hurt somebody else, most of the time when that happens, we don't run into our backyard and scream at God, God, why'd you let this happen? No, man, we did it. We're the ones who did the bad things. So when that happens, what do we usually pray? Hey, God, please forgive me. Could you please let this one go? Whenever most people wrestle with how can there be a good God with bad things, it's always about the evil out there and rarely about the darkness in here. No one has ever said to me, ever as a pastor, "Pastor, if God is so real, if God is so good, if God is so loving, then why hasn't he done something about me by now?" No one's ever said that to me. But we usually say this: "No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the big bad stuff that's out there, the big bad world evil stuff that's going on in our society." But now listen, bad things happen because broken people do bad things. And big bad things happen in this world because a bunch of broken people do a bunch of broken things, just like me and just like you. But now listen, if the Apostle John were here today, I think he would say, "Wait a minute, hold on. I saw something when I was here with Jesus on this earth that I think can help us with these questions that we wrestle with. I saw Jesus, I saw God in the flesh coexist with evil here on earth. I saw God in the flesh coexist with tragedy and darkness and storms and suffering and hurt and pain here on earth. And the Jesus I saw didn't prove he was God by eliminating all the evil. In fact, the Jesus that I saw didn't eliminate the evil in the world. The Jesus that I saw actually loved the world, and he loved me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." And then he went to work. Jesus goes to work setting me free from the darkness that has chains around my heart. The Apostle John would probably say something like this: "I saw Jesus in the world at the same time I saw the world suffering. I saw Jesus in the world at the same time I saw pain in the world. I saw Jesus in the world at the same time I saw darkness in the world." But it's nothing like you would imagine. Now, the reason why the Apostle John wrote the Gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, was because he wanted his disciples and his readers, and he wanted you and I to come to the same conclusion about Jesus that he did. And so the way John tried to do that was John wrote down everything that he saw Jesus do and everything that he heard Jesus teach and the miracles and the signs that he saw Jesus perform. In fact, at the end of John's gospel, he says this: if we were to write down everything we heard Jesus teach and everything we saw Jesus do, the entire world's libraries couldn't contain the books. And so John wrote down some very important things, but not everything, because Jesus did so many amazing things. And so today we come across something that John saw Jesus do that I think can really help us out when we go through these times of just adversity and being challenged and confusion and doubts and uncertainty. And it's been my experience that anytime anyone moves away from faith in Jesus, it's usually because this. Now listen to this. It's usually because they're not trying to discover a God who's very discoverable. Jesus says, "I'm not playing a game with you. If you seek me, you will find me. If you knock, the door will be open." I'm not playing a game. Most of the time when people say, "Man, I'm just not sure about Jesus anymore," a lot of times people are just trying to act cool, but whatever. "I'm just not sure about the whole Jesus thing anymore. I'm not sure about God anymore. I'm not sure what I believe." Most of the time, it's just because they're not willing to discover what's very, very discoverable. And that's how real Jesus Christ is. So at one time, Jesus has this run-in with some of these religious groups and religious leaders. And after that, Jesus performs this sign that would force their hand. And so Jesus is real. And Jesus was always running into these people who were trying to question him. And so Jesus ran into these religious leaders one time, and they were questioning Jesus, and he's about to do something in this story that we're about to talk about that was going to force their hand. Will you continue to not believe even now? And this said a lot about where their hearts were, not about how real or authentic Jesus was. So let's notice the story. Today we pick up in John chapter 11, and we're going to start in verse 1, and I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. "A man named Lazarus was sick. He lived in Bethany with his sisters Mary and Martha." So very quick, here's the characters of the story. Jesus has a really good friend. His name is Lazarus. Lazarus is sick and dying. Lazarus has two sisters, Mary and Martha. They both love Jesus, and they both are extremely good friends with Jesus. So we move on with verse 3. So the two sisters sent a message to Jesus telling him, Lord, your dear friend Lazarus is sick. Now, not only was Lazarus very sick, but he was also dying. Now, when Jesus got this message, he was a complete day's journey away from where Lazarus was, on foot, complete day's journey away. And so he's far away when he gets this message. And so we pick up in verse 4 of John chapter 11. But when Jesus heard about it, he said, Lazarus' sickness will not end in death. No, it happened, notice this, for the glory of God, so that the Son of God will receive glory from this. But the fact was this, by the time Jesus said this, Lazarus was already dead. So what? And then the disciples are thinking, so all this is happening, and then Jesus, you said that this bad is actually an opportunity to bring glory to God? And so this bad that's happening can't be used to disprove God because it's actually going to be used to bring glory to God. Now, what Jesus was trying to show was this, that he's coexisting not only with bad in people, but he's also coexisting with all the suffering that's in the world right now, in nature. This was the experience of death. A lot of times when people pass away, it's not because they did something wrong. It's just because this was their time in life, and it causes heartache and pain and suffering and all these types of things. It's not that some bad person went out and did something bad. Jesus is also dealing with just uncertain storms and uncertain adversity and trials that can strike your life like that. You've heard me say so many times on a Sunday morning that your life can change just like that. And a few weeks ago, our whole nation's life changed. All of our life, our church changed, everything changed just like that because of bad that's happening. And Jesus coexists with all of that too. When this happens inside of us and we're going through these types of things, it's a very natural reaction to say, God, why? And are you even there? But none of these things disprove God. They're actually an opportunity to bring glory to God. And so Lazarus dies and he's buried, and Jesus is about to travel to where Mary and Martha and Lazarus are, where Lazarus was buried. But right before the journey, notice something really cool that happens. Look at verses 8 through 10. Jesus replied, there are 12 hours of daylight every day. During the day, people can walk safely. They can see because they have the light of this world. But at night, there is danger of stumbling because they have no light. So the disciples are thinking, Jesus, could you kind of take this trip without us? Could you go without us, Jesus? Because, man, there's going to be people waiting over there who are going to try to kill you, and there's a lot of danger and all this bad's happening. Could you just kind of do this without us? And what do you mean by this? What do you mean by this talk about how there's 12 hours of daylight and then you need to walk down, or you need to walk around during the daylight before it gets dark and you stumble? What does that mean? And this is what Jesus actually meant. Just like there's 12 hours of daylight before it gets dark, you have an opportunity to follow Jesus. Don't waste it. Follow Jesus while the light's still turned on. Follow Jesus now. Glorify God with your life now. Get set free right now. Work on your relationships right now. Work on your habits right now. Work on your integrity right now. Work on your character right now while you have the opportunity, while the light's still on, while the sun is still shining. There's this opportunity, so do not waste it. If you stay out here in fear and unbelief, you're going to miss out on seeing God do something big. If you don't come with me on this journey, you're going to miss out on the glory of God. You're going to miss out on God showing up and showing out. If you stay out there being cynical, if you stay out there being doubtful, if you stay out there being afraid, if you stay out there far away from God, then you could miss out. And if you stay out there just because you're thinking, how could God be real? And how could God be loving? Look at all the bad things that are happening. Then you could miss out on this opportunity to experience God's glory in the middle of that storm. Man, if you're still with me in your living room, say, I'm still with you. And I'd say the same thing to you today, right now. If you stay out there far away from God, if you stay angry, if you stay bitter, if you stay cynical, if you stay doubtful, if you stay unbelieving, if you stay in this place where you're just not willing to discover a very discoverable God, then it could be you that misses out on God doing something big and amazing and great in your life. And so because of that, here's a few practical observations to help us live this out this week in our life as disciples. The first application is this. Apart from the creator of life, you will never understand the purpose of life. I gave my heart and my life to Jesus when I was around 19 years old, turning 20 years old. And this was something that I learned back then. I tried everything back then to find purpose in life. I tried to fill that hole in my life, that emptiness in my life, with everything the world had to offer. I wanted a reason to wake up and live. I wanted to find life and the significance of life and the purpose of life. And like many of you, I have tried everything. And the only thing that ever gave me purpose in life was Jesus Christ, because he's the author of life. I find my purpose. I wake up, I live, and I breathe to know God and to make God known. And that's our purpose. The second observation is this. We don't seek God for answers to our doubts. We seek him so he can change our heart. Let me say that again. We don't seek God so we can find answers to all of our questions, all of our doubts. We seek God so he can change our heart. I seek God so I can get the darkness and the bad out of my life, not so I can figure it out, not so I can figure out why it's happening in the world out there. I seek God so I can get him in here and get all the darkness in here out of my life. The third observation is this. If you're going through a dark time, hold on, because God gives us clarity in the aftermath. Hold on if you're going through uncertain times. Hold on if you're going through dark times. Look at me. Hold on if you're going through painful and confusing times. We all are right now, because when you look back and the smoke clears, that's usually when you see how God was working in the aftermath. So Lazarus dies. They bury him. They place him in the tomb. Jesus didn't show up on time. Jesus is late. Mary and Martha sent word to Jesus while Lazarus was still alive. Come here quickly, God. We need your help before this ends very badly. We need you to step in before it ends badly. And Jesus didn't show up on time. And it ended badly, and there was pain and suffering and devastation. We all need to come to grips with this, that what we're going through right now is probably not going to end in the most ideal way. It's probably not. But when the smoke clears, could we still find Jesus in the aftermath? And so they send word to Jesus, hurry up, show up here before it's too late. And Lazarus dies, and they bury him, and then Jesus shows up. Mary and Martha said, if you would have been here, none of this would have happened. They're weeping, and Jesus starts weeping with them. And then Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. We're going to talk about that next week at Easter. But he raises Lazarus from the dead. So the devastation happened. It's devastated. The smoke clears, and then Jesus shows up in the aftermath. And he takes us by the hand, and he walks with us so we can experience new life. If you're thinking this today, why me? Why now? Why this? How? How am I going to deal with this? Could you do something for me this week? Could you please just hold on? Hold on to God. Hold on to Jesus. Hold on to your faith, and in the aftermath, when the smoke clears from your adversity, Jesus is going to be there. He's not going anywhere. He's going to be right there with you. And so the last challenge for you this week is this. Your mission, your purpose this week is to glorify God with how you react to your greatest adversity that you face this week. Make sure that you glorify God with how you react to the greatest adversity that you face this week. Thank you so much for hanging out with us today. We love you. We hope you have a great week. Tune in with us next week. We're going to have an amazing Easter service ready for you. Have a great week.
We would like to thank you for joining us for this week's online experience. If anything about this experience spoke to you, or maybe the message encouraged you, please let us know how by dropping a comment down below. Or maybe you have a prayer request, drop that in the comments below too. We would love to join in prayer with you guys. If you'd like to partner with Water's Edge, there's three simple ways to do so. You can give online by visiting watersedgegathering.com and click on giving. From there, you'll be led to eGive, our online giving platform. Or you can text to give. You can text give to 337-223-9003. From there, you can enter your dollar amount and you'll be led to on-screen instructions. Or you can give through the mail. You can do so by mailing Water's Edge Gathering, P.O. Box 572, Lake Charles, Louisiana 70602, or Water's Edge Gathering, 2760 Power Center Parkway, Lake Charles, Louisiana 70607. Next week is Easter, so we are super excited about the things to come throughout this week. Please pay attention to social media and how you can spread the word about our Easter online experience. And don't forget to catch this week's midweek message dropping at 10 a.m. this Wednesday on all platforms. We miss you guys. We hope you guys are staying safe. Have a great Sunday and a good rest of the week. We love you guys.